This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Ticket to Ride, the show that takes you places while you remain firmly in your seat on BFM 89.9. I'm your host, Azura Rahman, and this week's traveller, Jonathan Putra, takes us on a volcanic trip in Java. Stay tuned till the end of the show, where we'll then take you through some tips and deals for you to plan your next holiday. Believe it or not, the island of Java is almost entirely volcanic in origin. Seeing its bustling cities of Jakarta, Surabaya, and Bandung in person may give you scant evidence of its volcanic roots, but the fact is, land on Java is a result of lava flows, ash deposits, and mud flows. Its nearly 50,000 square miles is host to numerous volcanoes, with over 45 of them listed as active, and a chain of volcanic mountains forms an east-west spine along the island itself. The totemic role of the volcano in Javanese life and its human history simply cannot be underplayed. Despite the natural path of destruction it can take, the volcano is also a source of life, with its fertile grounds bidding inhabitants rather than scaring them away. They are mystical, majestic, and repulsive all at the same time. And our traveller this week, Jonathan Putra, got up close with the volcanic craters of Kawah Putih and Kawah Ratu in Java. He talks about the hiking skills needed to see them in person.
I have hiked before, but not this way. It's an interesting experience because you can choose your own adventure in the sense that there's insane hiking or there's normal hiking. I've done a lot of normal hiking. I haven't had too many opportunities to do insane hiking, and this experience fell into the latter. This is technically considered mountain bagging. It's a term that I learned, it's similar to spelunking, but mountain baggers are people who run around and climb peaks and mountains and, you know, tick those off the list and throw them into a bag, so to speak. So this is one where you have the opportunity to be driven to the top or ride a horse or climb up the hard way. My favorite so far is either the horse or the climbing. I'm like a spider monkey. Like, I like to climb on everything.
Just 50 kilometers out of Bandung is Gunung Patuha, where Kawah Putih is located. Literally meaning white crater, the volcanic lake has become a popular tourist spot thanks to its steaming turquoise blue waters set against its surrounding bright white sands, giving the effect of a picture-perfect beach at 2,430 meters above sea level.
I went to Kawah Putih first, and this is a volcano unlike any other volcano that I've ever seen or heard of. It's an active volcano, but it's got a crater floor that's almost entirely sulfur. But within this crater, there is a turquoise neon green lake. And it looks like you're in Boracay because it's white sand, sulfur, and then there's the turquoise water in there. And it's absolutely brilliant. At night during the full moon, it actually fluoresces blue and green and changes from blue, green to red. It's an absolutely incredible lake. It's in the crater, so this layer of ash and sulfur is formed like a barrier over the lava, and it's only like a meter thick. So you're standing on a meter of ash, and then it's lava. And then there's this beautiful lake. You can't go swimming in it because you'll melt.
So set aside any dreams of taking a dip in that lake, as tempting as it may seem. The touristy nature of Kawah Putih, though, means that it's super easy to get to, with a minibus taking you right to the crater, or you can choose to walk up the 5 kilometers or so as a more vigorous option.
Kawah Putih is actually quite accessible. They've got like ramps and stairs and everything. You know, it was such an interesting thing because you're getting up into the thinner atmospheres, which is normally cooler because you're going to higher elevation. But it goes warm, cool, and then warm again. Once you get back to the volcano, once on the rim, it's nice and cool because there's air. But once you go in, it starts to get hotter and hotter and hotter. And then there's these vents that are just spewing out sulfur gas. You know, the top, that little hole? You walk down in from the rim into there and you can go down to the volcano floor.
An overwhelming part of the experience of Kawah Putih is, to put it politely, the smell, or to put it bluntly, the stench. It is perhaps not for those with delicate olfactory palates, and wearing a mask is highly advised. If anything, it's a reminder that beauty in nature has to be earned. Jonathan talks about the sulfurous state of Kawah Putih.
This one actually was a sulfur mine for a long time, because this one's been sleeping or dormant for quite some time, over 100 years if not mistaken. there was indigenous tribes that lived around it, and they would notice that wildlife would fly over this thing and then they would never come back, and the birds and other wildlife avoided it. So they wanted to go and figure out, and they figured out that the birds that would fly over would die from sulfur gas. So there was just like hundreds of bird corpses. So you do have to wear a mask to go in there. Otherwise, you can get, you know, too much sulfur gas inhalation. But you can buy them there, but I do suggest buying them for yourself before you go because they're cheaper and they come in a bundle. You don't need it, per se, but if you're sensitive to, like, strong smells or thin oxygen, then you might want it because you can get dizzy, or some people actually pass out, but, you know, it depends on your fitness level.
In any case, getting to Kaupute is a walk in the park and is an easy volcanic option. You get driven there, walk for a bit, and it's there for you to enjoy and, of course, take lots of photos.
There's what they call wildlife rangers. They will be there and they'll at least assist you in terms of giving you a knowledgeable background on what's there and why you can't touch things. These kind of explain the history, the entomology of the place, which is quite fun. It's essentially they're nature guides, but also tour guides. And you can literally walk around and explore most of the crater floor. And there's lots of like interesting rock formations. The sulfur has a tendency to evaporate with the water and it creates these really weird stalagmites. So it's all these little like spears coming out of the ground that are just crazy different colors. And before you go down, and again once you get down, they brief you on safety in the event of an evacuation, which means that it's going to erupt. Other than that, you can just enjoy the view.
Not far from Bogor in the Gunung Halimun Salak National Park lies the volcanic crater Kawaratu, also known as the Queen's Crater. Locally speaking, Kawaratu holds a mystical significance and is believed to be the resting place of gods and fairies. The fact that a plane crashed within the vicinity of the crater in 2012 only adds on to the mystical aura of the place. Also, if local folklore is to be believed, there are caves full of golden statues and loot hidden by the Dutch East India Company. And such rumours have led to loot hunters losing lives on the mountain. So don't be surprised if you encounter tombstones when exploring the area. Fairy tales and rumored treasure aside, the mountain itself stands proudly over the city of Bogor and is iconic in its own geological right.
Kawaratu is immense. It's absolutely mammoth. You can see on a clear day all the way to the ocean, which is about like 50 miles away. You can hike 36 kilometers around the rim of the other one, and along that one there's actually like 9 more craters on the Kawaratu. It's bigger, it's deeper, and that one's a lot more volatile. It's a lot more temperamental. It has a lot of small eruptions where it just spews out ash for days and days. And so the main crater, the one that all the tourists go to, that one's pretty much closed off, but they're waiting for it to have a big one. But the smaller ones, which have really just opened up in the last 30 years, so that means that the vents are still trying to get the gas out and the lava out. And that's how these new ones have been forming. But yeah, that one is intense. There's, again, these huge vents. And when I say huge vents, each one's about the size of a conchil. And it just like pours out this thick yellowish green smoke. That's the sulfur smoke. And methane gas is escaping as well. But it produces these weird shimmering like rainbow effects above it when the light hits it because there's moisture and all these other things. It's absolutely brilliant.
Kawaratu may lack the prettiness of Kawapute. It's literally a big grey volcanic hole that sometimes hosts to a small body of water. It burps and belches and its gases can be downright poisonous sometimes. Always check with local park officials before making your ascent, and as with most successful hikes, start early.
This is one where you gotta go early in the morning. I would say you have to be at the foot of the mountain by sunrise. Because not only is it an incredible view once you get up there for sunrise because it's facing east, but it gets really, really misty after that. So it's nice to see the clouds roll in and you're standing there and the clouds roll in and just kind of envelop you. So it's like, you know, when you look outside of the window of a plane and you're like, oh, I want to walk on the clouds. It's like that. It's open 365 days a year, but with one caveat, depending upon the mood of the mountain. If it's feeling moody or if there's too much seismic activity, then they'll usually issue a daily warning, you know, whether that you should avoid the mountain or it's okay to go there. Actually, when we were there, they forbade us to go to Kawaratu because it was gassy. It sounds funny to say gassy, but that's usually a precursor to an eruption for these types of volcanoes.
Living on volcanic land is a stark reminder to the circle of life. Despite the volcano's lethal nature, volcanic soil is known for its fertile ways, meaning that it's not uncommon to find many villages situated precariously near active volcanoes all over Java. The village of Kauratu, though, takes it one step further by taking foot right next to the actual volcanic crater.
So they sell the ash and the sulfur for medicinal purposes for people with skin rashes or whatever. You know, this entire like village has cropped up on the rim of Kauratu. So they've got like, you know, food stalls where you can eat. You've got places where you can stay in houses and stuff. I would say maybe about 150 shops. But it's incredible, you know, that the people stay there and everything. Life goes on. And what's cool about this is that about every 3 months or so, there's a huge rave party that goes on in one of these craters. So they bring all these DJs and equipment and lights and stuff, and they put it on the crater floor, and they have this huge party, and everyone goes and it gets nuts, and they rage until the morning. And then once it's over, about 6 a.m., they all go and sit in the hot springs in the crater and watch the sunrise.
With all that volcanic activity going on, it's almost easy to forget the tropical rainforest that's host to a variety of reptiles and amphibians unique to the area. There is even an eagle sanctuary at the foot of Gunung Salak, if you are so inclined. And all that fertile volcanic soil? Perfect for growing sweet, luscious, and totally non-tropical strawberries.
There's wildlife treks. You can go out and see tens of different species of primates. You can see different jungle jaguars and animals as well. You can go to the strawberry farm and pick strawberry. And the strawberries are gorgeous. They're some of the most flavorful strawberries I've ever had in my life. Perhaps that because it's like straight from the vine. I don't know. But once you get there, they give you this incredible glass of strawberry juice. That's definitely a calculated move, because when you drink this, you're like, I'm gonna have me some more of this. And you can only get another glass after you pick some.
Climbing live volcanoes in Java can be a dangerous or a mild activity depending on which one you choose. And as an island, it certainly is not on short supply of that. Jonathan reflects on his rewarding climbs.
I was so moved by the experience, just by virtue of the fact that I was actually able to take something off my bucket list, like climbing an active volcano. On the same token, I was the teensiest, tiniest little nose hair of disappointed as well, because I didn't get to see lava. I wanted to, you know, see like you see it on Nat Geo, it's like on the table. I could kick it with my shoe and see my shoe like flame up a little bit. I wanted to see that, but yeah, I couldn't. So that was, again, the teeniest bit of disappointment. But again, it's much better we didn't, because then everyone's obviously safer.
That was our traveller this week, Jonathan Putra, with his trip to the volcanic craters of Java. Don't forget to log on to our Facebook page on Ticket to Ride, BFM 89.9, or follow us on Instagram on BFM Radio for a more visual guide of his trip. After the break, we'll be going through some tips and deals for you to plan your next holiday. But before that, here's Bengawan Solo by Gesang on Ticket to Ride, BFM 89.9. This is Ticket to Ride, and I'm Azura Rahman with your travel tip. Given its reputation as a shopping destination in Indonesia, Bandung in West Java is a popular tourist spot. Thus, it is advisable not to travel there during weekends or public holidays, as traffic can be very heavy. That being said, the public transport network in West Java is fairly well developed, with buses as the most convenient way to get around. If you wish to make use of a taxi, it's best to negotiate the price of a trip in advance, as taxis in the area do not usually go by meters. If you happen to be in Bandung on a Sunday morning though, be sure not to miss out on the opportunity to watch the Adu Domba, the local ram fights, which have a strong threshold on Sundanese culture. Additionally, be aware of your surroundings at all times throughout your trip, as you may also face the risk of getting pickpocketed. And now I have Adeline Chung with her best travel deals for you.
For the first deal of the week, we bring you on a private trip up to Kawapute, otherwise known as the White Crater. Experience Indonesia's volcanic wonders and enjoy the beautiful landscapes of tea plantations and mountains along the way. If the season allows it, you may also pluck fresh strawberries from a nearby farm, just like Jonathan did. Now, prices begin at 200 ringgit per person. The tour highlights include strolling along the banks of the White Crater, marveling at the chalky blue hues of the lake and visiting a tea factory or Patenggang Lake. For more info, you can log on to www.tripadvisor.com.my. For the second deal of the week, we give you a one-day sightseeing tour of the city of Bandung, the capital of West Java. Allow your personal driver to take you around the various attractions that the city has to offer, from unique markets to Dutch colonial buildings. Prices start at 90 ringgit per person. Now, the highlights include immersing yourself in Indonesia's history when you take a walk through Braga Street, as well as getting a taste of the shopping district in Bandung by visiting hotspots such as Pasar Baru Trade Center and Rumah Mode. For more info, you can log on to www.jacktour.com. And for the final deal of the week, explore the lush flora of the Indonesian countryside with a tour that takes you to the renowned Bogor Botanical Gardens and the cool highlands of Puncak for a full day. You can catch a glimpse of the wildlife and exotic greenery that thrive in this area in the province of West Java. Prices start from 300 ringgit per person. Now, this tour highlights include walking along the extensive lawns and avenues that hold more than 50 varieties of birds, taking in the fresh air of the highlands that surround the peak of Mount Gede, Pangrango, and lunch at a local restaurant where you overlook the volcanic lake of Telaga Warna. Now, for more info, you can log on to www.expedia.com.
That's our show for this week. If you'd like to get more details on our guest trip, or if you have any suggestions yourself, log on to Facebook and like the Ticket to Ride BFM 89.9 page, or follow us on Instagram on BFM Radio. Now, here's a great tune for our next Indonesian travel playlist. It's a folk song called Onang Onang, on Ticket to Ride with me, Azura Rahman, on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.